Hello and welcome to the Growth Coaching International podcast. I'm Lee Hatcher. I'm in a Skype conversation with Professor Lee Waters on using a strengths-based approach in education and at home. Lee holds the Jerry Higgins Chair in Positive Psychology at the Centre for Positive Psychology at the Melbourne Graduate School of Education at the University of Melbourne. She's also the author of the recently released book, The Strength Switch, how the new science of strengths-based parenting can help your child and teen to flourish. So in education, how can we put these new scientific insights into practice to build resilience and optimism in children and teens? Let's begin with the research. What's that show us about the benefits of a strengths-based approach for both teachers and parents?
There is a lot of research now that's exploring this idea of taking a strength-based approach in both of the contexts you talk about, Lee, so in teaching and parenting. And what the research is showing us is that when we choose to focus first on developing a young person by bringing forward and amplifying their strengths, their talents, their skills, the positive qualities of their personality, before we focus on fixing their weaknesses, kind of ironing out their rough spots, compensating for what's lacking in them, that we get a whole host of benefits broadly in three buckets. Firstly, this is the way that we really help a young person to reach their full potential by amplifying what they're good at rather than focusing on correcting what they're not so good at.
Yes.
Second key benefit relates to well-being. So lots of research showing that when parents and teachers take a strength-based approach and seek to look for the good in a young person, that, you know, not surprisingly, the research is showing us this leads to higher self-confidence, higher optimism, higher life satisfaction, higher self-esteem, lower anxiety, lower depression. And then the third sort of bucket of benefits are the relational benefits, the fact that it kind of strengthens and bonds the relationship between the parent and their child or the teacher and their child, because the young person knows that first and foremost, you're kind of seeing the good in them. It's not about ignoring the weakness, but it's about first seeing the good. And secondly, what happens in that relationship is that once you connect your son or your daughter, or if you're a teacher, your student, with the idea that they have strengths, you see this lovely flow-on effect where a young person starts to understand and internalize they have strengths, which means other people must have strengths as well. So yes, they start to look at their friends through a strength-based lens, but beautifully they start to look at the adults in their life through a strength-based lens.
Yeah.
So you get this really nice feedback loop where, say, as a parent, you know, you're looking for the strengths in your son and your daughter, they start to see they have strengths, and then they start to figure that, well, if I have strengths, mum and dad must have strengths too. So they start to look at you from a strength-based perspective, and so it really bonds the relationship.
Yes. So what are we going to be seeing in schools? Okay, so it's all very positive and utterly understandable, but in practical terms, what's a strength-based approach going to be looking like in a school, Lee?
Okay, so there's a couple of ways that you can take a strength-based approach in schools. What a lot of the people in positive psychology are doing, myself included, is developing strength-based curriculum, strength-based programs. And so that's lessons that explicitly teach a young person how do they identify what their strengths are. So strengths are things that we perform well, get energy from, and are self-motivated to do. So bringing that in as a kind of formal thing that we're teaching young kids in school and teenagers to help identify their strengths. And once they know what their strengths are, find ways to sort of play to their strengths in school. So that's things like subject choices, but also in the areas where maybe you're not so motivated, how can you draw on a strength to help you perform better in that situation? So there's this sort of explicit curriculums. I also have a parenting program that's a, you know, online thing for parents to come in and more formally learn about strengths and bring those into their family. And then what we're seeing is the more, what I would call the more implicit approaches. So it's not sort of formal lessons about strengths, but it's just teachers more organically taking a strength-based approach.
Okay.
To the way they design the lessons, to the types of conversations they have with kids. One of the interesting areas where I've seen strengths being used really effectively is in behaviour management in schools and discipline situations. So rather than kind of disciplining from you're a bad person, you've done the wrong thing, you need to be punished, it's really coming at that bad behaviour and saying, coming at it from a strength-based perspective. So you know, what strengths do you think were missing in this situation that caused the conflict or caused you to, you know, be disrespectful for your teacher? What strengths do you think you would need to kind of do this differently next time? And that's a much more empowering approach to creating behavioural change.
Does that work in practice, though?
It really does. Yeah, good. So, you know, it's quite transformative. We weren't kind of raised that way in our generation. And, you know, I've seen it happen in schools, and it stops a young person in their tracks because they're getting ready to kind of be defensive,
yes,
justify bad behaviour. And then all of a sudden it's like, you know, I'm not going to come at this from your bad perspective. I'm going to come at this from, you're a good person. I know you have strengths in you. You know, you kind of let yourself down in this situation because you didn't use your strengths. So how can we do this differently next time?
I'd love to see their face.
It just provides a pathway forward for them.
Yeah. You spoke about curriculum. Have you changed curriculum? And if so, in what way?
So like I said, there's sort of the new curriculums, which are formal curriculums teaching about strengths. And then what I've seen in more traditional curriculums, you know, like the maths teacher in that moment where the student is kind of feeling a little bit overwhelmed, feeling unsure of themselves, wanting to give up, is that the teacher kind of moves away from that academic conversation and says, okay, what strengths do you have that you can bring to this situation?
Yes.
You know, I see that you're very persistent. I see that you're really curious. I see that you're very social. Is there a way that we can kind of turn this into a teamwork assignment so that you can use your social skills to help you kind of be motivated to keep maths going?
You're listening to the Growth Coaching International podcast. I'm in conversation with Professor Lee Waters. But here's a question. What's the difference between a strength and a talent, if any? And how do we identify strengths in the children we work and live with?
Both really good questions. And so there's sort of two broad categories of strengths that have been looked at in the literature, and they are strengths of talent and character strengths. So that first broad category, strengths of talent, are skill-based, they're performance-based, they're observable. We can see that in a young person. We can see someone who is particularly talented at music or talented at sport or talented with creativity, for example. And then you've got the second broad bucket, and these are strengths of character. So these are the positive aspects of our personality. They're not performance-based. They're less observable because they come out more through kind of thought and actions and feelings. But they're still very important. So they're things like kindness, courage, leadership, a sense of fairness, a sense of justice. These are positive aspects of our personality that are in that sort of second category, which is the character strengths. So we've separated them out into talents, which are skill-based, and performance-based and observable, and then character strengths, which are personality-based. In terms of seeing those strengths, as I mentioned earlier, as a psychologist, what you're looking for are three key elements that help you to define a strength. And that is, a strength is something that you do well in. So if it's a talent, you know, you can see that that child is higher on the bell curve than someone else. If it's a personality quality, what you're looking for is, and you just notice, you know, some kids are just really, really kind. You know, some kids have a kind of emotional intelligence that's way and above their years. You know, some kids are kind of think in a really tangential way, above what you would expect. They're performing higher on those personality aspects than someone else. Then you've got the second element, which is energy. If it's a true strength, so you can have a child who performs well, you know, is really good at sport or talented at maths. That's only the first element. A lot of us think that strengths are things we're good at. And to some degree, that's right, but it's only part of the equation, because what the psychology research suggests is the strength is something that you're good at, you get energy from, and you're self-motivated to do. So when you see that second element, what you're looking for as a parent or as a teacher is good performance, but also that the child is just very obviously gets energy from doing that. You know, they're really energized at the end of the task, or whenever you see them using kindness or fairness, you can see their energy levels rise as a result of doing that. And then the third element is self-motivation. Because strengths are partly innate, partly inborn in us, when it is a true strength, you're just self-motivated to do it. No one, if you've got a son or a daughter who is kind, for example, you would never have to tell that son or that daughter, now's time to be kind. They just always know to bring that in. They're self-motivated to do that. If you've got a son or a daughter who is, say, particularly musically gifted and plays the piano, you can have that scenario of the two kids who are both technically good. So they've both got that first element of performance, but you've got one child who performs well, but you can see they're not really getting much energy from it. You have to nag them at home to keep practicing and keep practicing. Yes. And then you've got the other child who performs well, but just gets so much energy from performing and is self-motivated. You don't have to nag them to practice. They almost, you know, they can't walk past the piano without being compelled to kind of sit down and quickly
have a go.
Play a little song before they move on. Yeah. And so what you're looking for as a parent or as a teacher are those three signs: high performance, high energy, and high self-motivation.
Okay. So we identify the strengths. Where to next? So how do you grow strengths? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure that's possible. Is it?
Yes, it's absolutely possible to grow strengths. So what we know about strengths, as I said before, is they're partly innate. You know, you're partly kind of born with particular capacities. But a big part of really reaching your full potential is putting in the practice and the effort to develop that strength. So for me in the book, what I talk about with parents and also to teachers is sort of these two processes. The first is seeing strengths. The second is building strengths. And so that gets to your question, how do we go about building strengths? And there's a whole range of different exercises and activities that we can do around that. I've actually got a lot of free resources, particularly around that, on the Strength Switch website. About there's surveys, there's games, there's quizzes, there's kind of conversations you can have. In the book, I talk about some of the techniques like strength spotting, starting to build strengths into the questions that you ask kids. You know, so rather than asking your children, how was school today, ask them, what strengths did you use at school today? And so they're starting to identify that they do have strengths, that they're using those strengths. You get a much better answer, by the way. I have two children, one teenager and teenage son and a daughter who's in grade four. I get a much better answer when I ask them, what strengths did you use at school today, compared to how was school today?
Okay. That's all you get. Yeah.
You know, and then it's also just about building up some of those basic psychological building blocks: capacity for attention, capacity for mindfulness, self-control, and being mindful of yourself, of your communication styles at home, you know, what you're identifying, what you're praising. But it's kind of like any skill, you know, you build it up through practice and effort.
Yes, I mean, there's such wisdom in this. Can you also give us perhaps a couple of practical communication tips in the education context teachers and principals can apply when using this strengths-based approach with their students?
Yeah, so one of the things that I work with in schools is the idea of calling forward a strength. So most teachers and most parents are pretty good at knowing that when they see the strength, that's when you praise it. But in addition to that, a great communication skill is to call forward a strength that you see is needed in that situation. So for example, in a classroom context, if the students are a little bit rowdy and not being able to concentrate, you would call forward, okay, guys, we really need to focus for the next 10 minutes. So you're actually kind of giving them a pathway of what it is that you need. In a parent situation, if you've got two kids in the backseat fighting, which, you know, is a situation I'm fairly familiar with, then instead of kind of going, stop fighting, stop yelling, is to say, you know, hey, guys, how about a bit of cooperation here? You know, can we keep the voices to a moderate level? And so why that's important is that in the first scenario, stop fighting, stop yelling, you're telling your kids what not to do.
What's bad.
And they might be cooperative and they might stop, but then it's kind of just like, well, what do we do now? In the second scenario, when you're calling forward a strength, hey, guys, how about some cooperation? You're not only stopping the bad behavior, you're showing them what you would like to see instead.
In your experience, does it stop it though? That's the critical question.
Yeah, and that's a great question. And I'm not going to pretend that taking a strength-based approach is a cure-all to everything, because it's not. You know, parenting and teaching, they're complex roles, and you're dealing with lots of different personalities, and
kids are kids.
You're dealing with fatigue and all those kinds of things that come out in the day with kids. The reason why I called the book The Strength Switch is because of this little kind of mental tool that I developed as a psychologist that I use with my own kids and that I use in the parenting seminars I run. And it gets exactly to your question. So what happens if you try that, you know, kids are fighting, you've called forward a strength, and you don't want to lose it yourself? This is where you flick on this little strength switch. So just imagine a light switch in your brain that is turned off. And when it's turned off, that's when everything is dark. That's when we do our natural tendency to focus on what's wrong with our kids and why they're always doing this and how can we fix it. Just mentally picturing flicking this light switch on, the strength switch, I call it. And when you flick that on, what you're doing is you're reminding yourself to repattern. So instead of going straight for what's wrong, is to start first with a strength. Now, in that situation where my kids are fighting, I've called forward cooperation, it hasn't worked, is when I start to use my own strength switch. So that's when I'm like, okay, what strengths do I have as the adult in this situation that can help me to approach this in a better manner than just yelling? Because ultimately yelling doesn't work. It damages the relationship. You might get short-term compliance because the kids are scared of you, but you're not showing them a better pathway forward. And you're also not modeling to them what it is that you want. So flicking on the strength switch in that moment to say, okay, what are my own strengths? How can I use my own self-regulation? How can I use my own communication skills? And how can I use my own perspective? This is annoying that it's happening, but it will pass. And underneath all of this, I know that my kids are good people who've got good qualities. Mm. And they're going to turn out okay, even if right now they're fighting in the backseat.
I love this. Can we conclude, as we often do with great stories in our podcast series, with a story beyond, say, at home, in the school where we've seen this really work, a child or a teacher and a child really flourish, Lee?
One of the best things about writing the book, apart from kind of pulling all the science together and putting in all the kind of tips and exercises and activities, was I interviewed a lot of people for the book, lots of parents and lots of teachers. And so the book has heaps of stories. Every chapter has stories. So many I could tell you right now, but one of my favorites is just a beautiful story of a young boy, teenage boy, 15 years old, in the foster care system, grew up in a very abusive, traumatic home environment, now is in the foster care system, has not been able to stay in mainstream education, so has been put into an alternative education schooling situation. And this teacher was telling me that when the boy first came into the school, they do a lot of kind of educational testing because they want to get a sense of where these students are at an educational level. Now, often because these are students who, you know, very sadly have been affected by trauma and abuse, they may be 16 years of age chronologically, but when you're talking about literacy and numeracy, you know, you're more like a kind of grade 3, grade 4 level.
Yeah.
What the school started to do was, in addition to the standard educational testing for these kids who are entering into this alternative program, they also introduced strengths-based testing. And so this young boy, with the help of the teacher, completed a character strengths online survey. And then the survey comes back and kind of says, these are your strengths of character. And the teacher was telling me that, you know, throughout doing the survey, the boy, he's very quiet, kind of keeps his cards close to his chest. He doesn't show much emotion. He completes the survey, and his top two strengths that come out as a result of completing the survey are a sense of humor and curiosity.
Wow.
The teacher said she thought this must be wrong because he didn't strike her as a particularly humorous or curious boy because he was so flat in his demeanor, so kind of closed in. And so she took him through the results and she said, you know, maybe we should do the test again. And he said, you know what? No, these actually are my strengths. Like, I am really, really funny, but I just don't share it with people. I think lots of funny, quirky things inside of my own head, but I don't tell people about it. And I am curious. I've got lots of questions about the world. I've just never had anyone to ask these questions
to. Oh, my goodness.
And she said, you know, she really saw him owning these qualities in himself. And for her, that was a really powerful moment in getting to know him, most particularly because then in the classroom, when he's transitioning and he is having behavioral management issues, she was able to call forward both of those strengths. She was able to, like, get him to calm down by seeing the kind of funny side of what he was doing. And she was able to get him to participate in classroom discussions by kind of saying, you know, John, I know you're curious because that's your second top strength out in this survey.
Yes,
like,
yes.
What questions do you have in your head that you're not asking out loud? Tell us. We want to know. Just a really powerful way of bringing this young boy into the classroom.
And for him to identify, perhaps for the first time in his life, that's a lifelong flourishing opportunity for that kid.
And that's exactly what happened, is that he said to her, this is the first time.
Oh my
and he's
goodness.
A 16-year-old boy. You know, this is the first time anyone has ever said, I'm good at something.
What a wonderful thing, Lee. There's such wisdom in this. If people want to find out more about your work, where can they go? Where can they get this book, The Strength Switch?
Great question. Thank you so much for
that's
asking
a good question.
Again. I really enjoyed your questions today. And so if they go to the strengths, www.strengthswitch.com, you can order my book online there. But more importantly, like I said earlier, I've got a whole lot of free resources for parents and teachers to just start to play with and get a sense of what it's like to take a strength-based approach. So we've got surveys, we've got a strength library that you can download, which gives you definitions and descriptions of all sorts of strengths. We've got strengths games, we've got other websites that we can point you to.
Great stuff.
That, like I said, really help you to get a sense of confidence of how it is that you can work with young people to help them see their strengths first before they work on their weaknesses.
I have loved this conversation. I'm sure it's inspired many who are listening. Everyone who's listening. Lee Waters, thank you so much indeed for joining us.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to the Growth Coaching International podcast. For more resources, podcasts, articles, videos, case studies, head to our website and the resources section, www.growthcoaching.com.au.